What's going on, everybody? It's time for the Binge Boys podcast, episode 213.
Wow.
Woo.
Welcome. Logan, Tanner, and Matt show as always. Hello, Tanner.
Hello, Logan. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Tanner. Hello, Logan.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Catherine. Shouts to Catherine for giggling in the background when we all greeted each other like that.
Shouts to off-white Catherine.
Yeah. Shouts to Catherine. Matt, what's your girlfriend's name?
Rachel.
Shouts to Rachel.
Big ups.
Big ups. It's time for the Binge Boys podcast.
You didn't ask what my girlfriend's name was.
You don't have one. Okay. And apologies, I refer to her as girlfriend, but fiance.
Oh. Flash that.
What up, everybody? Time for the Binge Boys. Before we get into everything, just a few programming notes, as always, to start the show. Number one, if you have never listened to the Binge Boys podcast before until today, welcome. If you have been a longtime listener, welcome back. The premise is that each week, my co-hosts and I talk about the hottest in movies and TV, and we sprinkle in some music, sports, or pop culture, or maybe some video gaming here and there when it's applicable. How can you support us, Tanner?
Well, there's a number of things. I'm going to list off a few.
Okay.
One, you can follow the Instagram.
Yep.
Two, you can follow. Well, first, you got to follow the Instagram.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
Second, on every other thing, we're on it. Binge Boys.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
All of them.
Just find us.
We're just everywhere. Find us. We're everywhere.
Yes.
Follow the YouTube. Shouts to intern Jackie that is cutting up all of our episodes and kind of releasing them into clip format. They're also awesome. Going up on the Instagram as well. So if you would rather just consume content on Instagram, you can. But if you'd rather consume it on YouTube and watch us in full screen mode, you definitely can do that too. The clips are available both. However, full episodes are only available on the YouTube. So shouts to her for cutting up the clips and for working on that. She's doing a great job.
Much easier to consume our content that way too.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you don't really care about the entire episode, but you care about what we thought about Black Widow or cared about what we thought about Loki, then go and find that clip. It's easy. It's, you know,
easy.
Just find what works best for you. If you care about what we think of all the trailers, just go listen to the trailer segment. It's easy.
Is there a Chum Lee talk clip?
Oh yeah.
I don't think she cut a clip of us talking about Chum Lee being down bad, but
yet.
You definitely can.
Yet.
Jackie, if you're listening to this, write that down. Better be listening to this. Or else I have some questions. Tell a friend in need. We're all asking each other, what's the best thing to watch? What's next? What should we be looking forward to? We've got the answers. We try our best to be as relatable as possible. We don't use big words or things like tone.
Well, I don't know a lot of big words.
Well,
so that's good.
Yeah. We try to make it easy on Tanner. He's a young buck. So we try to do our best so that he doesn't feel excluded.
Yes.
Young king, pay him in gold.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do our best to make it as relatable as possible. We're just three dudes that love entertainment, and we want to just, you know, if it sucks, we'll tell you. If it rocks, we'll tell you. That's just kind of the overall vibe. On every Thursday, a episode of The Run-Through is released. And The Run-Through, in case you're wondering, is a podcast where me and some co-hosts, whether it's Megan and Emily or Tanner and Matt or a combination of all of those combined, we talk about a movie and we kind of break it down piece by piece and kind of just review it, revisit it, talk about our thoughts about it, and it's a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, some of our most popular episodes are episodes of The Run-Through. Fun fact, I was looking at some numbies the other day. Some of the run-throughs are more popular than the regular episodes.
Dang, look how you gotta push them this way.
Some of them, yeah, for real. So some of them are, Some of them do really well. In terms of the run through, we've got some really exciting ones coming up.
Oh, yeah.
This week, you are going to be hearing, I believe, Monsters, Inc. Yes, Monsters, Inc. with Tanner and I.
Oh, yeah.
That comes out on Thursday of this week. Next week, we've got Step Brothers, also Tanner and I. The week after that, Transformers, the original Transformers movie, and that will also be Tanner and I. And starting off August, we got two strong ones, Oblivion. Well, two strong episodes. Oblivion isn't with Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman. It ain't great, I'll tell you that. So you'll hear Megan and Emily and I discuss Oblivion. And then the second episode of August is going to be the original Scream, also with Megan and Emily and I. So be on the lookout for the run-through. I've planned all of the run-through episodes until the rest of the year is up, and we've got some real good ones like Paranormal Activity, the original Batman, Elf, Christmas Vacation. Got some good ones sprinkled in there, as well as already planning out next year's as well. Ooh. We got some good releases next year, and I tried to time it with some new movie releases that release next year. So we've got things like the Dark Knight episode that comes out around the time that the Batman airs. We got Doctor Strange coming out the week that Doctor Strange 2 comes out. We've got The Lost World Jurassic Park when Jurassic World Dominion comes out. We've got a lot of really, really fun stuff for next year as well. So just make sure you're subscribed on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know what?
What?
That sounds like no plan of content shortage for a while.
You're not wrong, Tanner.
So follow.
We look ahead. We do. This is looking ahead, and that's what I do, is we plan ahead, and that's exactly what we do. Before we get into things, I want to make a couple notes from a couple friends of the Binge Boys. Number one is our friends over at Dazo. You familiar, Tanner?
Oh, yes, I am.
In case you're not, Dazo is the world's first, or not first, just the world's best spiked superfruit seltzer. It uses gluten-free vodka and all natural superfruits that are rich in electrolytes, antioxidants, and vitamins. Replenish as you party and always know exactly what you're putting inside your body. They are retailed all throughout the United States, and customers can also order them online and get it shipped to their home at drinkdazo.com. You must be 21 years old or older to partake. Mm-hmm. And I actually have another friend that I want to tell a little bit about.
Woo.
There it is.
This friend is no stranger to the Binge Boys podcast. This friend is prepped and ready.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's 2021. Everybody is on their hotness and fitness journey, and one of the biggest aspects of that lifestyle is eating healthy and meal prepping. Most people have no idea where to start, and they're overwhelmed by options and don't know what meals suit them best for the goals they want to achieve. Luckily, Tanner, Prepped and Ready has that solution. Prepped Ready Meals delivers high quality, fresh meals with health and fitness in mind. With a variety of healthy, low calorie, but delicious meals, they can cater to anybody's personal needs. If you live in the greater Atlanta area, we're starting there, but by the end of the year, the goal is to go try start pushing it state by state. If we can afford to do so. If you live in the greater Atlanta area right now, and you're interested in meal prep made simple, you can go to preppedreadymeals.com and use code BINGE15, that's BINGE15, at checkout for 15% off your order. 15%.
That's a lot of percents.
Yeah, that's...
That's like a free meal a week. You do it all 7 days. That's a free meal.
Essentially. So... check out Prepped Ready Meals. It's a great friend of the podcast, Pearson, ex-host of the Binge Boys. This is his meal prep company. They're good people. He's got a good crew. And you know what?
He is a great man.
Time to eat healthy.
Oh, yeah.
It's 2021. We're all on hotness journeys.
Dude, I'm on a bulking journey. It's a good thing I'm checking out these bulking meals.
Dude, check out them bulking meals. They've got meals that can apply to absolutely anybody. So make sure you check them out if you live in the area. It's a great investment. Tanner, I was actually eating Prepped and Ready when you got here.
And I actually
and Tanner tried a piece of chicken.
Actually, I ended up eating the rest of the bowl because it was delightful.
Yes, we were eating the buffalo chicken. Right? Yes.
Had a nice little kicky to it.
Nice little kick to it.
It's healthy.
Kicky
and it's healthy. It's healthy grilled chicken. It's amazing.
I enjoyed something healthy.
So
perfect.
Yeah, everybody, Prepped and Ready again, binge 15 at checkout to give you 15% off your order. You don't have to be over 21 to apply here. You can, anybody can order. So if you've got a son, Tanner, that I don't know about, he can order
and he can get big.
You can order.
Yeah.
Tanner can actually participate with this sponsor.
Yeah.
You should try it. You should order it.
Yeah,
one
I was thinking
week.
About it.
Use
yeah.
code binge 15.
Yeah. I was thinking about it.
You're going to go for the lean or the bulk or the protein?
I need to go for, I need more protein in the diet.
Yeah, there you
Mom
go.
And dad meals were doing good with that. But now that I'm on my own, the protein's kind of hard.
Yeah,
that's most, damn, chicken's expensive. What the hell, guys?
It is. It's expensive. It's expensive to eat healthier. But if you use code BIDGE15 at checkout, it's a little cheaper for you.
Absolutely.
There you go.
All right, everybody. Matt, what did you get into over the weekend? What you've been up to these past few days? Settling into the new home?
Yeah, settling in the new home. This was kind of like the first weekend, just absolutely just maxing it out here. A lot of just sort of time around the crib. Stepped out a little bit to go watch the movie, The Black Widow. Yeah. So that was the first theater return. So that was fine. Yeah. it was kind of really sad since there's like nobody there, and of course, like, you know, the awkward, so this is like a pick your, or you like have your seat like selected theater, you don't get to pick your own. Of course, the first two couples in the theater were us and one other, and we go in there and we're just sitting right next to each other.
Oh my god,
it's just awkward. I hate it.
Of course, were you sitting when they were walking in?
No, they were sitting there when we walked in, so
They had to been like, oh, you know what? I know it. They're coming straight for us, of course.
Yeah. But the guy next to me was absolutely dedicated. He was all about the plastic commemorative Black Widow popcorn tin and drink cup. So he was ready. Dude was fiended for theaters.
I bet he collected every single one.
Probably.
That's cool. Those are gonna be
they'll be tight. That was Saturday, and then Saturday night I stayed up till about 1:30 in the a.m. watching anime, so that was tight. So on Sunday I felt absolutely terrible because I can't stay up any later than that because I am a baby. So pretty much just ate tacos and vegged out. So pretty low-key weekend here. Nothing too crazy. What would you get into, Tanner?
Oh, guys, get ready. This was the craziest weekend of my life.
Did you happen to work?
Oh, no, just get ready. So Friday morning, I woke up. I got up, put my clothes on, and then I went to work. And then I worked 9 to 8, and then I went home and slept. And then Saturday, guess what I did?
Did you work 9 to 8?
No,
you ran it back.
This is nuts. I woke up at the morning time.
Yeah, as you do.
And then I went to work again. And then I worked 9 to 7.
Bang.
And then I went and watched Black Widow with Mr. Logie Meister here.
Okay.
Then
that's me.
Sunday, I woke up again and I went to work. And then I went to work from 9 o'clock until I opened the store, and then I closed the store at 9:30.
Damn.
And then went home, went to sleep, got up again today and worked 9 to 5. And here I am.
What a way to make a living.
Sucks. It sucks so hard. I can't stand that store. How many times have I said that on this podcast? every single time. I hate walking in. I walk in there, I'm like,
oh, just, man.
But it's okay because I'm going to take all of their money by getting all this overtime. So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Milk that overtime when you can.
I will.
Hopefully the boss man
didn't hear this. What did you do, Mr. Meister Logan Logie?
I'm loving these nicknames, although I'm not sure about Logan Meister Logie.
Burgermeister from the Santa Claus is Coming to Town, that guy.
Yeah.
The bad guy, Logie Meister.
I'm cool with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting out there, man.
Friday night, I worked, at Blue Moon shouts, "My schedule is changing at Blue Moon. They don't want me to work there anymore."
What?
Okay. You're getting left off the schedule.
You mean it?
They fired me. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, I was about to say.
They are no longer in need of... So here's the deal. Is I started working there because I wanted to make some extra weekend money. Got a wedding coming up. Got to start helping pay for that. And some trips, of course, that we've got coming up. Save some money for that. But we have gotten to the point where they have had more people lately apply for the hosting position that actually need the money, like as their full-time role. So they asked me politely if I minded, and I said, no, absolutely. This was just a job that was going to help me save for things. If I get less hours, like that's fine. I would rather give it to somebody that needed the hours more.
Sure.
But they are in need of delivery drivers. So when we get back from vacation, your boy's delivering some za.
Awesome.
Dude, literally slinging za.
Dude, all I do is sling za. So I'm no longer hosting. So I'm going to deliver Friday nights. Ooh. And I'm going to work curbside to go on Sunday nights.
Okay.
So Friday nights and Sunday nights. But other than that, Blue Moon is slowly phasing out, which is fine. It was a phase. It great people, great store, and
come work at Little Caesars now.
I don't know if I will.
Stay at the pizza category.
I actually don't think I will. Honestly, though, I wouldn't.
That'd be hilarious.
It would be freaking funny.
I would be your boss.
You would be my boss.
Yep. Imagine having to listen to what I say.
I usually don't, so that'd be tough for me.
That would be weird, yes.
Would you make Logan wear the orange tunic and carry the pizza on the spear?
Yep.
Hell yeah.
What did I do Saturday? Oh, I had a great day Saturday. So I woke up, watched Oblivion and Scream, and then recorded a podcast about both with Megan and Emily. Shouts to them. And then I think I just chilled and did something the rest of the afternoon and then went and saw Black Widow with the crew.
That was me.
And then Sunday I worked all day.
Hell yeah.
And that was it.
Grind.
That was the weekend. But this weekend is going to be a movie.
We can't.
Can't say what we're doing, but it's going to be fun this weekend.
Yeah, it is. You answer phone calls at work. So do you get a bunch of prank calls?
I've never gotten a prank call.
You know, I got one today.
Really?
You know, he called and asked for the Wizard of Clashing Clans. And the kid that answered the phone's a new kid. He goes, he just puts the phone down and actually comes over and goes, he's laughing. Like, but normally you just hang up, right? But he goes, hey, someone's asking for the Wizard of Clash of Clans. And he's just giggling. I'm like, dude, you didn't even hang up on him. And I was like, okay, I'll go. So I went and answered it as the Wizard of Clashing Clans. And then they just hung up.
Oh,
it's so disappointing.
That's funny,
isn't
because
it? I was going to play along.
I think the establishment that you work at is almost just slaughtering them.
No, I mean
it's they're a meme.
They are
in society, so I think people take them less seriously. Whereas my establishment is more adulty and mature.
Oh yeah,
the prominence of the Blue Moon.
Yeah.
So I haven't gotten any prank calls yet. I've gotten people that have called that are noticeably drunk.
Oh yeah.
Or noticeably on something. And it's kind of funny because they're giggling the whole time and therefore I'm giggling the whole time. So it's just a great back and forth.
Yeah.
A lot of giggles.
A lot of giggles. Giggle central, they say.
that may be giggle.
I like giggle central. That's great.
As you said,
as of right now, that's the title.
Oh, that's really weird.
That is.
It's a really bad one. Black Widow and Giggle Central. But yeah, that was my weekend. Are you guys ready to talk about not really any headlines per se, but got a few trailers that we could quickly just discuss, maybe dive into just a little bit, but nothing too crazy. Are you guys ready? Big trailer week. We can start out with a small trailer. I'll say right off the bat, this does not apply to me because I'm not interested in this yet. Maybe this will be the thing that pops the cherry
Sure.
for me. But Star Wars Visions, man. I watched about 15 to 20 seconds of the trailer and...
As did I.
Turned it off because I just don't know. I'm ignorant on the subject right now because I've never really watched anime. I watched, like, if you wouldn't even consider it, like the original, like, Pokemon show as a kid.
That, Yu-Gi-Oh, One like, Piece.
I never watched. I watched stuff like that as a kid, but ever since then, I haven't really dabbled. So maybe this is the thing that kind of turns me back onto it. We'll see.
Dude, I think this is the foot in the door. You're way into Star Wars. Anime is like just, you know, different. Wait, did I say you're way into anime or Star Wars? Whatever. You know what I'm saying. So I think this will be a good entry for you. I think it looks cool. I'm definitely going to watch it, especially if it's just a quick little thing. Like, we got no problem watching it. I'm real interested. Did you watch the, I know this wasn't like traditionally anime, but those like the original like animated Clone Wars shorts on Cartoon Network.
I've seen clips though on YouTube.
They're really cool. They're kind of like anime like, and it was obviously like a different art style, but it kind of reminded me of that.
I tell you what, I feel I'm kind of alongside with Logan because I've never watched, like, I didn't even watch Pokemon. I've watched nothing,
really?
Not one thing anime.
Okay.
I don't think. Have I?
Okay.
I mean, I can't think, but I'm excited to, I'll try it.
Yeah, of course.
And hopefully that'll be my foot in the door too.
It's Disney Plus. It's free. It's Star Wars. There's a couple good things. The art direction looks really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And I've watched Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah, that's kind of like definitely like anime inspired for sure.
Yeah. So I'll give it a shot. I'm not gonna poo-poo it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, me neither.
So
I definitely feel like this is the perfect foot in the door because like the anime, like it's like hard for me to start it because it's a whole different genre for me completely. And like, but this is Star Wars, so that's a good start.
Yeah, it's a good foot in the door.
So yeah, get me interested. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll check it out. I guess that's what we can say about Star Wars Visions. I just know, I think they said December it comes out onto Disney Plus or November.
I was thinking in the fall time. I can't remember. I can look.
Yeah,
it up.
Something like that. That's coming out late 2020.
That's kind of like right around Star Wars time. I feel like that's when I start getting interested again in Star Wars for some reason.
Well, yeah, the fall.
Yeah, right. Christmas time. The fall.
Yeah, the movies are always Christmas. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
September 28th.
September. Yeah, okay. So a little sooner. Okay.
Yep.
Cool. So that'll just piggyback off of the next series, probably, which is What If?
Oh,
Marvel's What If, the series that we've been waiting on that release date forever, because they kept saying summer 2021. But, you know, we got all the way up to the premiere of Loki. We still hadn't heard anything. But they dropped a trailer and then released the August 11th release date. Shouts to Catherine. That's her birthday. Whatever plan she has, they're going to be pushed aside so I can watch the first episode of What If.
Oh man.
Yeah, cool on me. But yeah, man, it's a American anthology series that's going to be thrown up onto Disney Plus. It's based on a comic series as well, which basically kind of just explores the different like possibilities that could have been, like what if this happened or what if that. That's the premise. Each episode is a different story or concept. Most of the voice cast from the movies has returning, including Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger, Sebastian Stan as Bucky, Josh Brolin as Thanos, Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner, Tom Hiddleston as Loki, Sam Jackson, Nick Fury, Chris Hemsworth as Thor, Haley Atwell's Peggy, Chadwick Boseman's last performance as anything, but playing T'Challa. Karen Gillan is Nebula, Jeremy Renner, Paul Rudd, Michael Douglas, yada, 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 yada. They're all in here. Yeah, man. This looks cool.
Yeah.
It does. I'm pumped.
I'm pumped for
this.
This
is a total nerd out, like, I watch these videos for fun on YouTube, like theory videos just like this. So this is just going to be, I hope they dive into the really like popular ones. The ones that like, what if, you know, Thanos didn't.
What if Thanos was a lesbian?
I don't know about that one.
I don't know if that's the one that they're exploring.
My first thought when I was watching the trailer was like, who is this person doing a very bad Robert Downey Jr. impression? Then I realized that it's him. So
it's Robert Downey Jr. that's doing it.
It just didn't sound right. I don't know. But yeah, man, it looks cool. I'm definitely on board with kind of like the anthology. I feel like it's a good way for them to kind of just get a lot of ideas out there that don't necessarily have to link to literally anything. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I thought the same thing. I've watched the trailer twice now, and I thought, like, that doesn't sound like Robert Downey Jr., but it is, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It just looks weird without him seeing his, like, mannerisms. I feel like that's might be what it is.
It's a cool art style. It looks very comic booky.
Yeah. 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 Sort of like in between, like, full animated and, like, sort of like rotoscoped.
Yes. Yes. I think it looks cool. I think there's not much to say, but I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. So excited for August 11th, which means so we've got Loki that's going to end next week or this
tomorrow.
Week. Tomorrow. Sheesh. Tomorrow. Well, when they listen to this tomorrow. Sheesh. So Loki ends this week. Then we have a couple weeks break and then, or I guess around a month's break.
Yep.
And then we get What If on August 11th, and then that'll come out over the next couple weeks, and then we get Shang-Chi, the first week of September, and then Star Wars Visions in the middle of September.
Let's go.
So we've got a next couple weeks planned out. I wonder when Hawkeye's dropping.
Ooh.
I forgot that was coming. Yeah, because I was kind of led right into with Black Widow to jump ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So another trailer we got was a Disney movie called Encanto.
Yeah.
Which is, I didn't know was happening. It is a computer generated musical fantasy comedy film by Disney, set in a fantasy version of Colombia. It is the 60th Disney movie, and all of these songs are being written by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
There we go.
I'm intrigued at the Colombian aspect. I work with a lot of people that are from Colombia, and I know that this movie means a lot to them, that their culture is being represented in a major motion picture movie like this.
Very cool.
In terms of the plot, I don't really know. Like, I'm sure it'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really like the colors and the art style, and it just looks very realistic, and it's going to be a musical, like a full-blown musical, and Lin-Manuel Miranda has proven himself in that field, so I don't see a reason to not be in. Unless you don't like musicals, then this won't be for you.
Way in.
Go ahead.
The little bit of plot that we got seemed like it was kind of the opposite of Coco, in that nobody wanted him to be a musician, but here it looks like the protagonist is the only one who is not a musician.
Yeah.
She's flailing around with the accordion, which, you know, as any good person would.
Hey man, bust out that accordion.
Dude, just it's over once I grab that squeeze box.
That squeeze box?
Dude, that's totally what it's called. There's a Who song called Squeeze Box.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I have not thought about the term squeeze box in forever. And you know what? I love it.
There we go.
The movie comes out in theaters only in the United States on November 24th. So they're going for that Thanksgiving weekend.
Yep.
Oh, Disney, you smart, smart people. You bastards going to rake in all of the money Thanksgiving weekend, especially with a movie that is going to be taking place in Colombia. So it's going to attract not only everyday people, but I can't wait to see the numbers on the global box office for this one, how it does in other countries.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, we're on board for Encanto. Be on the lookout for that later this year. And that was all the trailers we had today. Do you guys want to bus up right into Loki episode 5?
Oh yeah.
Dude, let's do it.
Okay. Loki episode 5.
Good shit.
I watched it so long ago now that I think about it. But yeah, it's
coming off of episode 4, I couldn't wait.
Oh, me neither.
I wait until Friday. That's the best I could do.
Yeah. And you know what? It is confirmed that I can say that I was bored.
Really?
I was bored for the most of the episode, again, until about the last 20 minutes. But that first, like, half, I was like, come on, what's happening? I don't know, man. Maybe I need to go back and rewatch the series when it's concluded.
Also, yes.
But as of right now, it's landing at like a 3 out of 5.
Really?
I'm just not pulled in.
You didn't like seeing all the locals?
People are thinking this is the best one. People are saying this is one of the best or the best.
I am pulled in at the cliffhanger of the castle that we got a glimpse of at the end, because I think I know who's in there. But
say who do you think?
It's Kang the Conqueror.
Yes, that's what I think too.
I think so.
That's gonna be fucking awesome.
It's either Kang the Conqueror, but I've also seen this other theory out there that it is another Loki. That would be set up quite well. That is kind of like, I forget what the theory said, but basically Loki, there's like another version of Loki in the comics that is like the Grandmaster Loki, the one that pulls all the strings, something like that. I don't know. How much of a doozy would it be that like this whole series Loki's trying to chase the person that founded the TVA, but it was really him all along?
That would just be so Loki.
That seems like the most likely circumstance, especially if they set it up with this penultimate episode having just nothing but Loki's in it.
Sure. I was a big fan of Alligator Loki.
Me too.
Yeah.
Sign me up for more Alligator Loki content.
Fan favorite. I like Boy Loki, King Loki, whatever. I don't know. The one who killed Thor. I thought that was funny that like just sort of everyone gave him props for doing what they couldn't do, what they all wanted to.
Yep. Also just realized that I forgot to mention Clifford the Big Red Dog trailer.
I thought we were tastefully skipping that. Because...
Yeah, but you know what? We can tastefully say that it doesn't look great.
Yep. Okay.
Anyways,
back to Loki.
That's
all the amount of time that we need to spend on that movie.
Perfect.
Yep. So I can't remember the name of kind of like the chicken that's sort of de facto in charge at the TVA. Sort of like screwing over Sylvie. That wasn't surprising, but I can't figure out if she's actually like in charge there and knows, or if her kind of feigning ignorance is all part of her act. I would imagine so.
I agree.
Yeah. Also in regards to the giant smoke monster that they fought.
Oh God, that thing was.
While I do subscribe to the theory that we just mentioned about there being another Loki that's pulling the strings, there is a lot of evidence that Kang could be the person, considering that that gas monster is directly tied to Kang in the comics.
Plus, this is going to connect to Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's what another big theory is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, because there's also another theory out there, because... there's a glimpse moment in the episode where you see Yellowjacket's helmet from Ant-Man.
Oh.
And a theory is that maybe when he got vaporized or whatever in Ant-Man, that he got teleported to this realm.
Possible.
Because I just saw something the other day that it was rumored that Peyton or whatever his name is rumored to be reprising his role as Yellowjacket in Ant-Man 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's called Quantum Mania, I assume they're exploring all aspects of the universe. A lot of movies this phase discussing the multiverse,
which is awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I was thinking after watching Black Widow. Rachel and I were talking, and it's like there's like two very distinct like tracks. There's like the human spy, like Falcon Winter Soldier, Black Widow track, and then there's just super high concept, all magic, all like multiverse like track. Yeah. So sort of when they bring them back together, that'll be interesting for just like the big team up events of this phase.
Oh yeah.
I wonder what it'll be.
Yeah. I wonder how. I imagine they'll do it good.
I don't think Kang is gonna be in it, but I don't think he's gonna be the biggest and baddest.
What? Of Kang. The big team up movie? I'm still subscribing to the idea of Doctor Doom being the next big baddie. That
would be freaking awesome.
Especially that now they have the Fantastic Four rights, but that's too far away now, I think, in my head. So maybe they'll do Kang. Maybe he'll be the next Loki where he kind of appears from movie to movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and even Loki was kind of seemingly the big bad. I mean, you could tell he was the face of the big bad in like the first Avengers.
That is true. So. Mm-hmm. He was phase ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I enjoyed the later half of the episode, but the first half, like with all the different Lokis, I thought it was cool, but like I wasn't like glued to the TV. I was kind of like, whoa. I wasn't like, whoa. I was like that the later half of the episode.
Yeah.
When they were taking on the smoke demon, which is also named Alaya.
Yes.
A terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this episode was still kind of like, I'm not going to say like intentionally set up to be a letdown, but almost intentionally set up to be slower just so they can raise the stakes again for the finale. They can't just have it be at the, you know, great peak that episode four was and just sort of ride that out to the end. Cause that's, you know, half the series.
Mm. Which also brings to mind that we have one episode left.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's still a lot they have to do.
But wait, remember, like every single one of these series, like didn't they reveal, like
that's
they
what say we that said.
Something big, like not like I forgot what the guy Russo or whatever he tweeted that like nothing huge is going to happen in the shows.
Yeah,
like something that's going to change the movies heavily. I think he said so. Like we may not even see Kang. It might just be that Loki theory that you guys said. That would just, that kind of makes sense as a Loki, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've also heard theories that like Mobius this whole time is up to something, which would kind of sting, but like I could see it too.
I'd like,
You know what I'd say if that turned out to be true?
Wow. Yeah.
I was bad the whole time.
Wow. I really got you. Huh? I
tricked the trickster.
Unfortunately, I think you might be right about, I think that the signs of, and like all the nerdom in the show are too heavily pointing to Kang for it to actually be Kang. Mm-hmm. But just like all the signs in WandaVision all pointed to Mephisto, but never happened.
Exactly. So that's going to happen again, I think.
Well, but would it not be the most Loki thing in the world to have him just be kind of the figurehead and then Kang actually be in charge, but him just having like a Loki fall guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we could have Loki being the main villain or whatever, but then like after credit scene, see something very similar to the first Avengers movie where Loki goes and reports to Thanos.
Yep.
And you almost do something dramatic where a door opens and like Kang is standing there. It'd be pretty tight, man. It'd be really badass.
Be so cool.
Yeah. I mean, I almost don't hope for that because like you said, it'd be exactly the same of what they just did. So
yeah,
we'll see.
So we'll see. What else? What'd you think, Tanner? Haven't really given you a chance to really speak up.
I liked it. It was good. I mean, yeah, the middle a little stagnant. You were right, but it picked up really well, and I'm excited for the next one.
I really liked old Loki.
Yeah.
Oh, he was badass. Richard Grant, I think.
Yep. Yeah.
He was powerful.
Yeah. A lot of people coming up with theories as well as he being too big of an actor to be in one episode of the show and then be written away. Like, what if he's secretly the villain?
I see that as kind of like Catherine Hahn in WandaVision, not necessarily just in the show, but they'll like call on him for like a movie appearance as well, sort of like that.
Yeah.
He's, you know, a distinguished, super solid actor. So they'll want to.
I got to present to you guys another theory I just remembered.
Okay.
I want to get your thoughts on this. See the likelihood of this being real. So at the beginning of Endgame. Mm-hmm. No, not Endgame. Infinity War, we see Thanos choke out Loki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely kills him, snaps his neck, essentially.
No more resurrections.
No more resurrections. Old Loki has a line in this episode. I didn't catch it when I watched it, but I saw it on TikTok afterwards. Somebody replayed it, and I was like, holy shit. So old Loki makes a reference, and he says, at one point, I even, like, someone brings up Thanos or something, and he says, yeah, I out-tricked the Mad Titan. And so there's a theory that says, what if the Loki that Thanos choked out was a fake, and Loki actually survived being choked out by Thanos?
I believe it.
And didn't actually die.
I don't know. I don't believe it.
I don't know. I don't like it.
Because he's always got a backup plan. Because he's still Loki. Like, even though he was turning good at the beginning of that and, like, you know, trying to help, he still is Loki.
That's like the tragedy of it. He was finally a redeemed character, and he was like struck down. I think that sort of like completes that arc. I think it undercuts a lot of the emotion that goes into the Infinity Wars Endgame two movie series duology, I guess.
I agree.
Yeah, no,
I
wouldn't. I think he's right.
I think it takes away from that scene.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't hate it, but I wouldn't like it either if that turned out to be the case.
Yeah, they wouldn't take that emotional scene away, I don't think.
We're at episode 5. Tomorrow, we're watching episode 6. Where does this lie on the Disney Plus shows for you right now? Between WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, where is it at?
Number 2.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's WandaVision, Loki, Falcon, Winter Soldier for me.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Gotcha. I'm still at WandaVision, Falcon, and then Loki. Yeah. This last episode can do some wonders. I don't know. I really enjoyed Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I don't know.
I really liked Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I liked it too.
Looking back on it, like, kind of not fast forwarding, but sneak peek to the last segment of the episode when I was ranking the MCU. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I really enjoyed Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like, looking back on it, it like stuck with me for a while too. I just really liked it.
I liked a lot about it too. I think there's just sort of more theory crafting and stuff to think about with WandaVision and Loki that I think it is just sort of more interesting, just sort of more there as we've sort of like watched through it. And watching back through, I very well could, like, now that I know like the whole story and I'm just kind of rewatching it, I could see Falcon and Winter Soldier kind of rising in rewatch.
Kind of also what you said earlier about how there's two lanes of like what Phase 4 is doing. Like, WandaVision and Loki have been fun in terms of like theory, whereas Falcon and the Winter Soldier was a more grounded, like mature, like real world scenario.
Right.
Whereas these other shows are just kind of fun and nerdy and that's weird.
Yeah.
A lot that they can do. So you sort of never really know what to expect. And I think that's probably where the separation in my mind is with putting those two above Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Well, cool. That's where we are in Loki episode 5.
Oh yeah.
And we'll be at you with Loki episode 6, our thoughts and discussion. You'll hear that next week. Speaking of next week, like I said, we might not have an episode on Monday, a full length episode. However, I think we will be able to meet briefly and record maybe a 15-20 minute seggy on just our thoughts of the finale of Loki, just so that we're not 2 weeks behind on that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll probably air that same time a regular episode will drop. So just be on the lookout for our thoughts on the finale of Loki and where the MCU goes forward from here. And I can't wait to talk about that. But until then, let's talk about Black Widow.
Some really left money on the table not doing that song. Spoiler, I guess. Full spoilers ahead.
Let me give you some information about Black Widow in case you live under a bus. Natasha Romanoff, aka Black Widow, confronts the darker parts of her ledger when a dangerous conspiracy with ties to her past arises. Pursued by a force that will stop at nothing to bring her down, Natasha must deal with her history as a spy, the broken relationships left in her wake long before she became an Avenger. The movie released in the theaters and on Disney Plus premiere access July 9th, 2021. That movie sits around 2 hours and 13 minutes. And it's rated PG-13, directed by Kate Shortland, starring, of course, Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, David Harbour, Rachel Weisz, and many, many more. This is the first MCU movie that we've gotten in 2 years. It's also the highest performing movie at the box office since Star Wars, the Rise of Skywalker. Whoa. This weekend, it roped in a whopping, sorry, I misspoke there. The best performing opening weekend since the Rise of Skywalker, especially in the U.S. The movie made, in combination of theater tickets and the Disney Plus fee, over $215 million, okay, which kicked Fast Nine's ass. I think it was somewhere around $100 or $150 million for opening weekend.
Probably already made more than Fast Nine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rip.
Tanner. No. Matt.
Yeah.
You gave it the lesser rating of the three of us.
I did.
Let's hear your reasons why. First of all, talk about what you did not like about Black Widow.
What was your rating? I missed it.
He gave it a 3 out of 5.
So let me just say, it's definitely it's a Marvel movie, so it's definitely solid. They definitely do more right than wrong. I think I came away with a 3 out of 5 mainly because of what I wanted it to be versus what it was. So it's not necessarily entirely fair. So I feel like in the course of this discussion, I could easily be talked to, do you mind if I spoil your ratings of you both gave it a 4 out of 5?
No, absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like I could be convinced to take it up to that, but I think that they sort of, from the beginning of where they chose to put it, in the timeline, kind of penned themselves in, because we know what happens before and we know what happens after. So to use the Loki grand timeline thing, they can only deviate so far from the timeline and have only so much development of her character so that it's not inconsistent with what they've already done. So just with knowing that and it really took away a lot of the stakes. In most of the scenes, it's well, I know she's going to be perfectly okay in this. So I feel like they could have used her family to greater effect, because we don't really know their, quote unquote family, to greater effect, to sort of create stakes in it, since we don't really know much about them. So that's is that really fair to the movie? Not really, but that's just kind of what made it sort of jump down in my mind. So how about you guys tell me about some of the things that bumped it up to a 4, or you can address what I said, whatever you're wanting.
Well, I'll go ahead and say, I'll start out with what we didn't like. I did not like, which again, this isn't necessarily the movie's fault. This is more just, Marvel / Disney's fault of why didn't this movie come out 5 years ago?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Did
we need Ant-Man 2 before we got Black Widow 1? No,
we did not. In all actuality, we probably should have gotten Black Widow right after Age of Ultron or something like that.
Right after Civil War.
Civil War, we should have gotten. I think chronologically, most people have placed it after Civil War, before Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
that was why I didn't. That was one reason why it didn't get a perfect,
Yeah. And personally, I think the middle drug just a little bit.
Oh, that's exactly why
they did. They gave us a bunch of really awesome action in the beginning and a bunch of really awesome action in the end. But in the middle, they kind of had to take it back a notch to deal with the family stuff between everybody. Which is fine.
Which I thought was interesting. I think that they've done all of Marvel's kind of been adopted family, but I think that this was kind of doing it in a different way, how it was kind of a mix of you know, sort of like a goofy family comedy, as well as like sort of like a spy movie. So I thought there was sort of some genre mixing in ways that they hadn't done before.
Yeah, Matt, if you were to guess the Rotten Tomatoes action of Black Widow currently, do you want me to give you one of them and you guess the other?
I'll guess the critics.
Okay, what you got?
I think the critic, it is 65% fresh.
And what would you think for audience going off of that?
Audience is usually higher. I'd say 85.
So critics gave it a certified fresh 81%.
Oh, okay.
Whereas the fans have given it a 92%.
Okay.
Which is very strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stronger than I was expecting. Like, again, this is a great movie, but I feel like it's sort of not like, I don't know, not necessarily like a paint by numbers like Marvel movie, but it kind of hit a lot of the same beats. It did a lot of stuff really well, like they all do.
Yeah.
So that's sort of surprising.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I think the biggest issue is that this movie should have come out earlier.
Yep.
Which again isn't the filmmaker's fault. Like nothing like distracted me from the movie thinking this should have come out earlier.
Right.
But afterwards I've been like, it would have been Natasha's death in Endgame would have meant more if we saw this movie.
Agreed.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't made that connection, and like the only thing we'd lose is the end credit scene if this came out sooner. Like, yeah, that's literally it.
I forgot about it.
The end credit scene?
Yeah, refresh.
Full spoilers ahead.
Yep.
Natasha's sister visiting her grave.
Yep.
With Valentina.
Yep.
Making an appearance. We love, we stan Elaine. However, I'm trying to think of any other poor things. That's really the only thing that I really didn't like. Tanner, what was your favorite thing about Black Widow?
I really liked the what's his name? I forgot his name.
David Harbour.
Yeah,
the Red Guardian.
The Red Guardian. He made me enjoy that a lot more. So at the beginning, that is my favorite part about it. And also, it was really interesting actually learning something about Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
We knew all this stuff. And did you know that her boss or Loki references what's her name? God, I forgot all the names, but the boss.
Yeah, the villain.
He references
he does
in the first Avengers.
In the first Avengers, he says you're the daughter of or whatever.
When she's manipulating him.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Very
interesting.
Cool.
All connects.
Isn't that
crazy? That was the first Avengers movie and they had a plan.
They plant those seeds.
I know.
Matt, what was your favorite thing about Black Widow?
I think Yelena, the sister. She's great.
She was.
She's awesome. Yeah. I want more Yelena. Get her in the mix.
We're going to get more.
Yeah, definitely.
I stand with Matt here. The whole movie, I was like, this chick is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like Florence Pugh nailed this performance. And piggybacking off of you, I think David Harbour nailed it too.
Agreed.
I think honestly obviously Scarlett Johansson did her thing and always kills it, but I think the supporting cast was really strong here.
Agreed.
I really enjoyed the family dynamics, even though the villain wasn't really Taskmaster. Mm-hmm. I think the main villain, I don't want to say scared, but I was like threatened by him. Like I felt like he was an asshole, and you know,
I thought you meant the Taskmaster.
Taskmaster, however.
I like that twist. That was a good twist.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Taskmaster, I've seen that there is a lot of people on the internet that are not happy about Taskmaster, considering that he is a male in the comics and they did a gender swap in the movies. But come on, man.
The whole time I thought he was a man.
Who cares?
The character is still awesome. The character is still the same. I guess technically not, but whatever.
I think the character, I had a couple ideas about who Taskmaster was. I'm not sure about you, Matt. I thought that possibly her friend that was hooking her up with all of the secret passports and secret planes and stuff was going to be secretly Taskmaster.
I like that. I thought it was going to be like a rogue Tony Stark drone.
Oh, as in like it wasn't even like a human in there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because to your point, actually, the first like half of the movie, they give you the like thought that like Taskmaster isn't a human because they like say turn on and like they wave to the heads up display. Did you catch all of the little like different MCU like fighting styles that were in there?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I did.
I like visibly frowned when I saw her do the Black Panther claws. I was like, oh man.
A few times she did like the Spider-Man like lands on like the hands, and I was like, ah, that's Spider-Man.
That was
also a good running bit of the whole movie. The when Florence Pugh said, "Why do you always do the pose?"
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
And then did you, Rachel didn't catch this, but like when Black Widow like released the last vial of gas on Taskmaster, she did it with like her pose thing. She, like,
oh, she did. Hand. I didn't. Yeah, catch she that. Did.
Yeah, yeah.
Shouts to Tanner for taking a tinky break.
Very cool. While he's gone, do you mind if I sort of pose like I sort of had this like criticism of it?
Okay, let's hear it.
So again, it's not really the fault of the movie, but I think I was kind of spoiled having like almost three whole series before this. Because I felt that if this would have been a series, I felt like it would have been a better sort of look into this kind of overlooked character. You know, they could have like picked apart like a little bit more. They could have done sort of like a little bit more in depth out of different parts of her life that weren't necessarily quite as bookended as sort of the section that they chose to make the movie about.
Yeah, I like that. I also was worried going in, like, because we've been spoiled with like these 30 minute or 45 minute episodes, like what it would be like to watch a full 2.5 hour movie again.
Right.
And I did find myself about after the first hour, kind of like looking at my watch, just kind of like trying to see how much time has gone by.
Right.
What'd you think about the opening sequence of the movie with like the flashback, them starting there?
I thought that was good. I think that set, like, I don't think they could believably, like, have a lot of sort of like the emotional parts in kind of like that draggy middle without sort of setting up, like, that they were, like, you know, some kind of a family, that they did, like, spend time together and have, like, some kind of bond and connection. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys realize how dark this movie was while watching it? Like, in terms of, like, there's a lot of sad moments. There's a lot of like real like family issues in play as well. Like,
oh yeah, well definitely the guy who's in charge, or the evil guy in charge, is a complete psychopath who's just taking away like thousands of people's lives.
Yeah. I did think, like, I don't want to say cheesy is the right word, but like that whole ending sequence where he was like flashing up all the girls on screen, he was like, at any point I could throw over a government. I was just like, okay.
Well, that's another thing I think that he set up pretty well, because when she's in the trailer in Denmark or whatever, she's watching a Bond movie. So I thought that was a nice little homage about she was getting him to like say his whole plan and yada yada, and then she really like had it good. So I thought that was another thing, like the movie set. Maybe this is a 4 out of 5. I think I'm the one praising it the most on this review. So
see, this is I really honestly, my first thought process after the movie, you know, the lights come on, you're waiting for the credits, you know, to finish rolling, I was like, I loved it. I really did enjoy myself watching the movie. I really did. Because I compared it to my reactions after, not to shit on it more, but Fast 9, whereas I walked out of the theater and was like, that was cool.
Yeah.
But not an amazing movie. And this wasn't an amazing movie, but I had a damn good time watching it.
Me too.
Yep.
And it's scored fairly on my list that we'll talk about next. Like,
sure.
I really enjoyed myself. Like, I'm glad that we got this movie. I just wish we could have gotten it a little sooner.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I think I will hold that a 3 out of 5, because as you were saying that, I didn't quite have that. Like, I wasn't negative once the lights turned on and the movie was over. I was like, all right, that was good. Like, just more like satisfied versus like excited, which it sounds like you were. So that's, I will hold my 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I definitely was like, yeah, that was pretty good. I think I went in with lower expectations because a favorite YouTube reviewer of mine didn't dog it, but he gave it like a C minus.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. But then another YouTube reviewer of mine was just like, yeah, this is like a B plus, A minus. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. So I kind of didn't know where to think. So I kind of left my expectations mid-ranged, but I was really blown away by the whole family dynamic. I really, really, truly loved David Harbour and Florence Pugh. Their characters, I think, saved the movie in a lot of places, where like that whole arm wrestling exchange was just hilarious.
That was great. Yeah. And he finally gets called. We learned why no one else calls him out for these stories that are clearly made up.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we all enjoyed Black Widow.
Yes.
In terms of the after credit scene, obviously, Valentina, she comes and she's like, your next target is Hawkeye. Now, there's two thoughts here. Number one, is Valentina recruiting or telling this new Black Widow, which is what the rumor is, this new Black Widow, that she has to go assassinate him? Or is she saying, this is who we're going to try to recruit next?
Ah, okay. Okay.
Because if you remember in Endgame, Hawkeye did kind of go a little dark for a minute when his family disappeared.
When he was Ronin, yeah.
When he was Ronin. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of rumor that this character is going to make an appearance in Hawkeye.
Guaranteed.
At the end of Hawkeye to try to recruit him into this new Dark Avengers is what they're called, or the Thunderbolts.
Yeah. I liked, I guess not to sort of bring it back, but I do like sort of the prominence of General Ross and kind of those figures that in the comics become Thunderbolts. Cause that's also what was in my mind. It's like, okay, why? Cause the whole plan was that this movie is going to start Phase 4. So it's like, okay, what pieces are kind of being set up here to sort of be moved later. And this movie had the most Ross in it of any other movie in the MCU, it felt like.
For real.
So that cannot be overlooked.
No. And last little bit of snippet before we move on to the last segment. Did you guys, besides me, notice that Ross looks very noticeably sick or old in this movie?
I didn't really notice. Yeah.
Go back and like try to find some Google images or something of him. He looks noticeably very skinny and very old. Ooh. And there's a theory about that. Because in the comics...
Oh, because he needs the Hulk.
Yes.
The heel, right? Yeah.
Yes. He gets really sick in the comics and he takes the serum and unfortunately becomes Red Hulk, which is a member of the Thunderbolts.
Right.
So there's a theory that after Valentina keeps popping up in all these movies and series, maybe she's the next big baddie like Thanos. She's recruiting these Dark Avengers.
Yeah.
Maybe Ross here becomes Red Hulk here in a few movies. Maybe not at Hawkeye, but maybe at the end of Spider-Man, maybe if he pops up again, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know who else. Well, it might be Shang-Chi if the Abomination's there, because there's the sort of Hulk tie-in with that. That's the only thing I could think of, but it seems like Shang-Chi's dad is the big bad of Shang-Chi from the trailer.
That's what it appears to be, but you never know. Marvel's thrown curveballs at us before.
Yeah, bigger ones than this.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So, Black Widow, check it out in theaters. All three of us saw it in theaters. So if you can, if you feel safe, if you feel comfortable, this movie was awesome in the theaters.
Yeah.
So,
Fun experience.
So a very fun experience. A lot of people getting back to the movies with the major Marvel release. So go check it out in theaters. If not, $30 for premiere access on Disney+. So with Black Widow coming into the MCU and Loki ending this week, this is something I've thought about doing for a while. All of us should have a list of where the MCU ranks in our opinions. We're not going to go through list by list entry like we normally do with like a top 10 list, but instead, to Matt's credit idea, we have some tiers. We have tiers that are almost like A, B, C, and D, but instead they are kind of tied to the MCU. Matt, do you want to kind of give your explanations there?
Sure. So starting at the top, as most things should, we've got the Infinity Stone tier. These are, best of the best. Unfortunately, I do not have six. That would have been too perfect. Kind of botched that. And then next are the Vibranium tier movies. So these are definitely like sort of a step below, maybe not quite as exciting or not quite as emotional, or just for whatever reason doesn't quite connect to you the same way the Infinity Stone tier does. Next is the Gold Titanium Alloy tier. Shouts to Iron Man 1. And these are movies like, and I'm just, they're all Marvel movies, so they're all going to be super solid, but these are ones that, you know, definitely have a few more shortcomings than the ones above, but are, you know, definitely still super solid. And then the bottom is the Mark 1 tier. So these are ones that I think when Logan first like pitched, he had this as kind of like the forgettable. Maybe there's just stuff in there that's just not quite as good, or it's just, you know, a little bit too early. They don't quite have the characters dialed in. That's kind of what I, the main stuff that like I put in that tier, or just movies that, you know, they happened and you've not thought about them since you watched them in the theater. So.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure. Well said. So what we'll do is we normally go person by person to dive into each of our like list entries, but since there's so many, what we'll do is we'll start at the bottom at the Mark One, the forgettable movies, and we'll work our way up. So I'll say all of mine. Not really any discussion needed unless somebody puts something somewhere that's really surprising to the others.
Completely flipped. Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody wants to defend where they've put a certain something, they can, but if not, then we'll just move right along.
Sure.
So I will start us out at Mark One, which references also Iron Man 1 with the very first Iron Man suit that he puts on, just barely enough to be able to escape the cave.
Right, yeah.
So here we go. These are in no particular order in the category. They're just the ones I grouped in here. I've got Thor the Dark World, which is, in my opinion, the worst of the MCU movies.
Yep.
We've got Thor 1, Captain Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Doctor Strange, and the Incredible Hulk.
Okay. Do it, Tanner.
Strange. You seem appalled by my Doctor Strange.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I haven't seen Doctor Strange since the theater, and I've never thought I've thought about watching it recently, mainly because Doctor Strange 2 is coming in the next six months to a year. But other than that, like I don't think about it much. I think Doctor Strange is awesome in these big team up movies, but I never think about his solo movie.
Yeah. So it's in the same tier as this one, so not to jump the gun, but I see it as kind of they learned how to do an origin movie really well by this point. So at this point, it's basically, I see Doctor Strange as like an upgraded Iron Man 1. That's just my opinion.
Cool. So Tanner, go ahead with your bottom tier movies.
We've got Thor, the Dark World, and the Incredible Hulk, and that's it.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. You've got a lot less in that tier.
Cool. So in my Mark One, I think the only two that make it for all of us are the Incredible Hulk and Thor, the Dark World. Additionally, I have Iron Man 3, Guardians 2, and Ant-Man and the Wasp. So I think I don't think I've seen any of them twice. Maybe Iron Man 3, but that one of my friends is watching through them for the first time, and his criticism of that one that I can't like forget is this one was clearly put out around Christmas time and they were trying to make it into a Christmas movie.
Looking at my list, I have not seen any of these more than once except for the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Moving up to the Gold Titanium Alloy, I have only three in here. I've got Ant-Man, Iron Man 3, and Iron Man 2.
Okay.
So I like Iron Man 3 a little more than a lot of people do, mainly because I think about basically just that end battle with all of the suits coming together, it's like flying in. It's like goosebumps. Oh, yeah. But other than that, there's not much to get excited about here. A lot of people were pissed about the Mandarin decision that they made, making him a dud, which I think you're making up for.
Two.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait.
No. It two is that whippy guy. The guy. Oh,
Hammer. Yeah. Okay. Or,
Whiplash or
yes. Also
rumored. Oh, yeah. Hammer. Justin Hammer. Yeah.
Also rumored to be a Thunderbolt is Justin Hammer.
There we go.
Love to see what's his name, Sam Rockwell, make a return.
Yeah.
Tanner, what you got in your gold titanium alloy section?
I've got Ant-Man and the Wasp, Iron Man 2, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Captain Marvel.
That is a hot take, my friend. At least in my eyes, I love Age of Ultron.
I think it's fine.
After WandaVision, I rewatched Ultron for the first time, and it really I liked it a lot more than I remember.
Watch it again.
You should watch it again, especially after WandaVision. Now,
okay. Yeah.
Yep. So, in my gold titanium alloy tier, I've got Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Thor, Spider-Man Homecoming, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man Far From Home, and Black Widow.
Mel, boy, you've got a lot in that one. Iron Man 1.
It's so slow, man.
Spider-Man?
It's the one that started it all.
Yeah, but it's so slow.
Damn, you are right. It is. That first 45 minutes is just cave.
Yeah.
Spider-Man?
Those were the ones I was a bit iffy on, but I think I've only seen them twice. Once in theaters and once at home.
Man.
I have a bias with Spidey, though.
Why?
Because I love it.
Where would the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films rank in this section for you guys? Or in this segment?
2, 1, 3. 2 in Infinity Stones. 1 in Vibranium. 3 below Mark 1.
I agree.
I would put the same order. 2, 1, 3. I think that's the order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For my Vibranium section, I will put the Avengers, the original.
Ooh, that's kind of a hot take.
Yeah, it is. Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
Black Panther. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, season 1. Spider-Man Far From Home. Captain America, the First Avenger. And Black Widow.
Mm, okay.
I really enjoyed myself in Black Widow.
Yeah.
Tanner, what do you have for your second, unless anybody has anything to challenge, except for that Avengers ranking is a hot take.
It is.
That is, yeah.
I was thinking about it this morning when I was putting this together, and I thought to myself, you know, the original Avengers is great, but how many times when I think about to go rewatch a Marvel movie do I think about rewatching the OG?
No.
That it is also very slow.
Yes, very slow.
Yes.
So, Tanner, go ahead.
All right, so I got Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay.
Iron Man 3. Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Ooh.
Yeah. Captain America Civil War.
Ooh.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians 2. Ant-Man. Black Panther. Doctor Strange. Black Widow. And Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Hold.
Dude, you just loaded that tier up.
Hold on.
They're not,
dude.
I mean,
you
they're all not masterpieces.
Hold on. You put
Civil War?
Yes, Civil War on the same level as Ant-Man and the Wasp?
No, I think about it. Wait a minute. I gotta.
You're not just complimenting
Ant-Man
and the Wasp there. Things. You are destroying Civil War there.
If you put that's
bro, Civil War is an A-list movie.
Take a lap, buddy.
Yeah, I gotta go.
Take a lap.
Go run polls.
It's okay. You can update your list.
I do need to change
you can
it
update
now.
It when Loki comes back. Because
I think
every single time we get a installment in the MCU, we will revisit this list and just talk about where that new installment rests.
Yeah, now I'm looking at my masterpieces and I'm like,
are your masterpieces controversial?
They can be.
I don't think they are. I think we all have a few, like at least four of the same movies in there.
Well, you kind of threw a wrench in that number with two of Captain America's in the Vibranium.
Wait, Matt, before you go, can you read those to me one more time?
Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay.
Iron Man 3. Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
That's another one. Okay, go ahead.
Civil War, Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians 2, Ant-Man.
Oh, that's it. Guardians 2? Are you shitting me?
Like, bro, I have not thought a word about it. Its soundtrack is probably arguably better than Guardians 1, but I just do not play it just because I have no attachment to the
movie. The only thing that I think of when I think about Guardians 2, and no offense if you truly love Guardians 2, but I think of Kurt Russell and how cool he was. But other than that, bro, like, I don't think of Guardians 2 ever. If Guardians 3 is anything like Guardians 2, I'm out on James Gunn. I'll say it.
Out on James Gunn.
You know what else would be fun? Is now that the DC universe is ramping up, maybe putting all of our DC movies in a tier ranker like this for when Suicide Squad comes out.
And then at the very bottom, I can put Batman
versus Superman
in the Kryptonite tier.
Oh, this will be fun. Okay, yeah. Matt, go ahead with your vibraniums.
Yep, I got Captain America, the First Avenger, Guardians, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, Captain Marvel, WandaVision, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
You really enjoyed Captain Marvel.
I did. I think the fish out of water story that they told was, again, sort of drawing back to the comparison between Doctor Strange and Iron Man 1. I think they learned a lot from Thor about how to make like an effective one. I think it was cool getting Sam Jackson and a lot of like the Skrull sort of set up with that. So yeah, I really did enjoy it. I think maybe I have also only seen that one once. I've seen a lot of these only once is what I'm learning by doing this list, but it stuck with me better than a lot of the others.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of these only once as well. So maybe I do need to go back, and there's a few ones that me and Catherine missed when we did a rewatch, kind of because I honestly was just like, we could skip that one.
Yeah.
But like one of them was Ant-Man 2, Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel. So maybe we'll go back and maybe I'll, you know, when we revisit this, I'm sure by Shang-Chi, I'll have rewatched a few of them by then. Yep. Maybe the list will be switched around. And that's the beautiful part too, is that we can move this around when we feel like it too.
Yep.
So I'll go ahead with my Infinity Stones. I unfortunately don't have six as well, but I've got, again, in no particular order, WandaVision season 1, Avengers Age of Ultron, Spider-Man Homecoming, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, Iron Man, Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Endgame, and my favorite MCU movie, Captain America Civil War.
It is a great
movie.
I love that one so much.
I have no problems with that tier.
Same here.
Tanner, what you got for your Infinity Stones?
All three Avengers. Captain America, the First Avenger, Iron Man, Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man Homecoming, and WandaVision.
Okay.
All three Avengers, meaning?
All of them.
All of them except for...
All four. My bad.
Ultron.
Oh, no. All.
Wait, all my bad, except my for bad. Ultron.
All except for Ultron.
I can't believe that. Dude, James, you know what has aged so well is James Spader as Ultron. It's a great villain.
Good. Yeah.
A great
really villain. Good. Really good.
Matt, go ahead.
Yep. So I have Avengers, Winter Soldier, Civil War, Black Panther, Ragnarok, Infinity War, and Endgame.
Yeah, all solid lists. I struggled with Black Panther and Thor Ragnarok not being in the top. Black Panther might go up to Infinity Stones because Black Panther is really awesome.
Yeah, the way I thought of it, I think that is the best. If someone says, I want to watch a Marvel movie, but I don't necessarily want to watch them all, I would say watch Black Panther.
You know what? I think Black Panther might get that slot, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that movie is real good. Because I love Thor Ragnarok too, but I think Black Panther is more rewatchable.
Yes.
Than Thor Ragnarok is, even though Thor Ragnarok is hilarious and is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Thor Ragnarok, I would like that template to be applied to basically all Marvel movies going forward, where you kind of have a single character's story, but then sort of like a random, like randomly Hulk is there for really no reason. Well, not no reason, but you know what I mean? I think that's like a really unique use of just like their different the different like storylines and stuff. So I think that that's how I want, I put that there. Cause it's like, that's what I want the movies to be going forward, to be really awesome, to be really funny, really unique, but still have a lot of heart. And kind of, sort of reflects back on the characters and makes them sort of like think about what they've done, because they've done good and bad things. They just need to be reflective of that.
Sure, sure. So, folks, as I've stated 15 times already, when a new film or series wraps up, we will throw it in. I'm not sure if we throw What If in because it's not integral to the timeline. But
we can put that in our What If tier.
True. Or we could just put it in like an animated show tier.
Sure.
Or something. Yeah, maybe it yeah. just goes in its own category. But at that point, why rank it if it's just going in its own tier? So we'll see. You know, we will reassess when appropriate. That was this episode. That was this episode of the Binge Boys. It was a really strong one.
It was.
Yeah. If you like Marvel, it's a great one for you.
Yeah. This is the you know what? This one might just be titled the MCU episode.
The one where they talk about nothing except the MCU.
Yeah. Yeah. The one where if you don't like Marvel, don't listen.
If you don't like Marvel, then fuck you.
Hey, that's really strong. So, like I said also earlier, next week on Monday, be on the lookout for our thoughts on the finale of Loki. We will upload that and have that in for you guys to listen to, as well as Step Brothers in for the run through on Thursday. And, you know, just tell a friend in need, follow us on Instagram, and rate and review. That's all we ask of you.
Yep.
We will see you guys next time for Monsters, Inc. on Thursday. Bye. Goodbye.
See you. Yeah.